So here we are in Waikanae on this beautiful spring day in October 2025. And Rog, where are we standing outside?
So we're standing outside the Waikanae Cemetery. It's on Ngarau Road in Waikanae. And it's a beautiful, beautifully kept cemetery of various different parts. And we'll talk about that maybe a bit later on.
And there's a couple of graves we're going to visit today, so we'll walk in now. And I think the first grave that we're coming to is actually literally one of the first headstones we see on this lawn.
The first time we came to Waikanae Cemetery, we spent hours looking for this particular grave, and it did take us hours. We went through every grave in the whole cemetery to try and find them. It turns out we'd walked right past it. It is literally right by the gate into the cemetery here, and it is the grave of Betty Armstrong and B. Arthur.
Yeah, we're just coming up to the grave now, and there's a little bit of wind that's happening here in Waikanae. Certainly not as bad as Wellington, but we'll have a bit of a windshield up, so hopefully it's not too distracting. So in front of us lay both Betty and Bea.
It's quite an interesting headstone. It's quite beautifully done, really. It looks like a book which has been opened up, and on the pages you're reading this text here. And the text is, "In loving memory of Marguerite Elizabeth Macready Betty Armstrong, 16th of the 4th 1909 to the 15th of the 11th 2000, lifelong partner of Beatrice Arthur, 13th of the 12th 1915 to 5th of the 8th 2002, together in our Lord."
Now, we should also say that a lot of the information that Roger and I know about Betty and Bea actually comes from Dr. Alison Laurie, the late Dr. Alison Laurie. Alison was able to interview, I think it was Bea, a few years ago for a bit of an oral history project. And so a lot of the information that we know is because of what Alison was doing, 20, 30 years ago.
Mm. So I guess the question is, why are we here and why are we stopping at this particular grave? Well, it's really significant because this is a grave of Betty Armstrong and B. Arthur, and they were partners. They were together since 1943, and they lived together as partners for 57 years.
Now, that's quite interesting, because when you think of the 1940s, to live in a lesbian or same-sex partnership would have been quite different from what it is nowadays, where you could be a lot more kind of open. I'm reminded of one of the things that Alison, when she was interviewing Bea, was talking about, and Bea told Alison that at the time, I think, they were sharing the same bed almost immediately, but they didn't call themselves lesbian, did they?
Yeah, they may not even have had a word to describe what they were, apart from very fond of each other, very in love with each other. And that's actually a really instructive thing for us to think about when we think about history of the past and rainbow history of the past. We might identify, we might want to categorise people in one way or another, but they themselves may have thought of themselves quite differently. So just a little salutary lesson there. They were a private couple, but they're also very social. And they were members of the Victoria Club, which was a really important social club for rainbow people in Wellington. And they enjoyed things that everyone enjoys doing, like being social and dancing and having fun.
I think that's another key thing to remember that's quite different from maybe nowadays, in that, prior to homosexual law reform in 1986, there weren't a lot of public spaces for rainbow people to inhabit openly. And so, if you go back into the 70s and the 60s and earlier, you'll find a lot of people doing kind of private dinner parties where you would gather. There was, of course, the Dorian Society, which was New Zealand's first homosexual society, I think, established in the early 60s.
Yeah, and then the Victoria Club, which was, when was that formed? Was it
70s, 80s, I think.
70s and 80s, yeah. And I'm not really clear as to what Betty Armstrong did. Certainly, Bea Arthur was a registered nurse, and so was a nurse at some point in her life. But I'm not sure about Betty.
No, I'm not sure either. I do know what did happen after Betty died. So Betty died in 2000. As a lasting memory to their relationship, Bea formed the Arthur and Armstrong Charitable Trust for Lesbians, which is still going today. What an amazing legacy.
It is a huge legacy, and one of the things that the trust funds is Quilted Bananas, which is formerly the lesbian radio show on Access Radio. It's now called Quilted Bananas, and that's a really important community resource, actually, that really probably wouldn't exist without their very generous sort of foresight and funding. Bea died in 2002, and so they're buried together here in Waikanae. They had a holiday home here in Waikanae, so that's probably the Waikanae connection, but they certainly lived in Wellington City for many years.
It's lovely to be able to visit their grave and to have you know, something in stone that's talking about a lifelong same-sex partner. It's not often you see headstones that have those words.
It's really not, and it's amazing to see here in Waikanae. It's great to see here. It's actually really great to see here, I have to say. And it's important for us to remember their contribution to the rainbow community. When we think back to homosexual law reform in the mid-1980s, you know, even though they were really private people, they were prepared to sort of make their voices heard in the campaign for law reform. I think there was one famous protest outside the Salvation Army Citadel in Wellington, and at the time the Salvation Army had an anti-law reform petition that they were circulating nationwide, and so there was a pro-law reform protest outside the Citadel on at least one occasion, and Betty and Bea would drive up and down the street tooting their horn in support of the pro-reformers while it was happening, which again is a very lovely public thing for, I imagine, two fairly elderly women by that stage to be doing.
Oh, that's wonderful. And of course, you know, we're coming up to the 40th anniversary of homosexual law reform in 2026. So really lovely to be able to kind of tie that back to that period of law reform and rainbow histories in Aotearoa. There is also, you've got one of.
Yeah, I was just going to say a couple of things. One is, so it just occurred to me that actually it's almost 25 years since Betty Armstrong died. If she died in November 2000, it's October 2025 now, so a quarter of a century. So that's a really important and significant moment in time to commemorate as well.
And lovely to see them today on this very special spring day here in Waikanae. We have another grave that we're going to visit, and this is actually a little bit further into the cemetery. It's actually up on a little, would you say a hilltop?
Or I would say it's a little hillock. A hillock, maybe a bit more than a hillock, because there are some smaller hillocks that are genuinely hillocks, I think. But it's a little hill within the cemetery, and it's got an older part of the cemetery, I think. The part that we're in now with Betty and Bea, a lot of people have been here since maybe 2000, maybe late 90s. The part that we're going to is more, early 20th century, so an earlier part of the cemetery.
So we're standing atop of the hillock in Waikanae Cemetery, and we're just trying to find this very famous grave that we're trying to look for at the moment. And we have been here before, but sometimes our directions aren't that good, are they?
No. You're right, we have been here before, and I think it's just over this little ridge here.
And this is actually quite an old part of the cemetery, and so the graves are actually quite large, aren't they?
Yeah, much more substantial, and with the full concrete sort of surround here, as opposed to just the lawn, which was down where Betty and Bee were.
Now, I'm having a few issues because I have my reading glasses on, but as I look into the distance, it all becomes very blurry, so I might have to get you to take the lead and actually point out where we are.
Yeah, so again, we are at the now at the top of the hillock, looking round, and I think it's down this one. Is it this one here which has the cross on it? Go around here. Here we go. Yes, it is. Yeah. So actually, this is quite a large sort of marble-covered grave here. It's very well maintained, I think, probably because it's got such a famous person's ashes here. I'll read the stone. In loving memory of William Hughes Field, also his wife Isabel Jane Field, William Jeffrey Hughes Field, who I guess by looks of those dates there is probably their son. And then underneath that there's a line, Rachel Owen Hodgkins and Francis Hodgkins. So it's not immediately clear just looking at this, the relationship between the Hodgkinses and the Fields, apart from the fact that they are all in the same grave. Francis Hodgkins' date, died 13th of May 1947, aged 78 years, and it looks as though she is there with, that might be her mother, in fact, is that right? Rachel Owen Hodgkins, died 22nd of April 1926, aged 88 years, so died 20 years before, yeah, that makes a gap of about 30 years, that's about right, yeah.
And Francis Hodgkins was one of New Zealand's most eminent painters in the 1930s, 1940s, and actually earlier than that, and actually had a very successful career primarily in the United Kingdom. And it's really interesting that she's actually buried here in Waikanae Cemetery, just north of Wellington. I have to say, looking around this hillock and looking out, one to the kind of the coast, we're in a kind of a northwesterly direction, we can't actually see the coast from here, but it is there. What a beautiful vista.
It is a beautiful spot, and actually we're quite tall, and I can just over the top of one of the houses see a tiny little patch of sea. So that's a bay looking out to the Tasman Sea, I guess, from where we are in New Zealand. But yes, it's a beautiful spot. I would say it's quiet, and it is quiet, except for an amazing array of bird life that we have around here. There's tui I can hear, and a whole bunch of other amazing birds. So, yeah.
Frances Hodgkins was incredibly well-travelled. She was born in 1869 in Dunedin, but she actually travelled around the world, probably best known for travelling in the United Kingdom and Europe in the early 1900s. She was one of many New Zealanders, artistic New Zealanders, who actually set out to travel around the UK and Europe. So people like Catherine Mansfield, who was kind of similar vintage, and the writer James Courage, and it was probably a lot more cosmopolitan, I think, in Europe.
One of the people that Frances met over in the UK was Dorothy Kate Richmond, who became a very important person in Frances's life. Frances described her as the dearest woman with the most beautiful face and expression.
And there's some absolutely gorgeous letters that survive from Dorothy and Frances, which is where that quote comes from. And I think that letter continues, Dorothy's letters are poems. She is the dearest piece of perfection I have ever met, and unlike most perfection, not in the least tiring to live up to. So where did they meet?
They met while they were in Europe. They met in 1901 and they began travelling together, but they also were painting together. Dorothy was a painter. And once they'd returned from Europe back to the UK, they lived together in Cornwall before separating. They got back together and then came back to New Zealand in 1903, and they established a studio on the corner of Lambton Quay and Bowen Street.
And that's a really interesting building because that was owned and rented from Alexander Turnbull of the Alexander Turnbull Library fame.
Yeah, it had been stables, I think, for his big flash home, which is just up opposite the Beehive there. Turnbull House, it's called now. Lovely brick, old brick building. But that was a stables, but because it had lots of light, it was turned into a studio for Dorothy and Francis. Francis also had pupils, and one of the pupils that studied with Francis in that studio was Edith Kathleen Bendel, who would become Catherine Mansfield's lover a couple of years later.
And we've heard a story where apparently Catherine would write nightly to Edith in, was it purple or...
Violet
ink.
Apparently it was violet ink, yes, inviting Edith to come and stay at the family batch just across Wellington Harbour in Days Bay.
Well, Francis and Dorothy had a bit of an on and off relationship. We've seen it written as complex. I think they were complex people living in a complex world. Unfortunately, Francis's later life was not particularly too happy, was it?
It wasn't really. Although she's regarded as one of the UK's and New Zealand's greatest artists of the time, there were periods when she was very poor, not necessarily easy to make a living out of being a painter. And at the age of 63, she was found in her basement studio, living with the water and the lights turned off, and she'd pawned everything just to try and stay alive. The bed she was lying in was covered in newspapers for warmth.
Gosh, that's shocking. That really is quite shocking, particularly for such a well-known and well-respected international artist. So Francis sadly died in Dorset in 1947, and it was actually her nephew, and unfortunately we don't have his name, that brought her ashes back to New Zealand and is buried here in Waikanae Cemetery with both her sister and her mother.
Yeah, I'd almost speculate and say that it was William Jeffrey Hughes Field, who's also buried here. The ages would be about right, the dates would be about right, as the nephew who brought her back, but don't quote me on that.
Waikanae itself is got a kind of a living, it's not a memorial, but it's a celebration of Francis's work, and that's in their regional art gallery.
Yeah, Toi Mahara is the name of the gallery. It's a beautiful gallery. If you come to Waikanae, definitely check it out. It's only a block away from the railway station. It's got a big collection of Francis Hodgkins's work, but it's also got other displays that it exhibitions that it has as well.
And it feels, I mean, every time we've been, it's almost like the Francis Hodgkins area is a kind of a permanent exhibit to her.
Yeah, it feels like it. And definitely Waikanae is embracing its Francis Hodgkins connections more and more. Yeah,
that's really lovely to see that her art and her spirit are really being honoured and remembered on a daily basis. So it is lovely to be here on this spring day with Francis and her mother and her sister and the Field family as well, and at rest here in Waikanae Cemetery.